When does a technology move from the lab to the factory floor? Is it when a company reports 287% revenue growth? Or is it when they spend $1.8 billion not on research, but on a semiconductor foundry to secure their supply chain? This week, the quantum industry gave us a clear and very expensive answer. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the abstract world of quantum computing got very real. We're seeing a massive acceleration in commercialization, a frantic race to secure our digital infrastructure against future threats, and a clear signal from the White House that this is no longer just a scientific pursuit, it's a national strategic priority. We'll be looking at IonQ's massive acquisition, a key breakthrough from French competitor Pascal, and the deadlines being set by Google and Oracle that every company needs to have on their radar.
It's a pivotal moment. The industry is shifting from demonstrating what's possible to building what's profitable and defensible. For US and European businesses, the time for watching from the sidelines is over.
Let's start with the biggest number of the week, Troy. IonQ, a major US quantum player, finalized its acquisition of SkyWater Technology. The price tag is a staggering $1.8 billion. What exactly did they buy for that price?
They bought control over their own destiny. SkyWater Technology isn't a quantum research firm. It's a US-based Department of Defense accredited semiconductor foundry. This acquisition, finalized on August 10th, makes IonQ the industry's only vertically integrated full-stack quantum computing company. They now control the entire production pipeline, from designing the specialized chips for their ion trap systems to manufacturing them in a secure domestic facility.
So this isn't about a new scientific discovery, it's about manufacturing capability. Why does that matter so much right now?
It matters globally because it signals the industrialization of quantum computing. This isn't a lab experiment anymore. It's about scalable, reliable production. The move directly addresses the massive supply chain vulnerabilities that have plagued the high-tech sector. Having a secure, domestic foundry is a huge competitive advantage, not just for IonQ, but for the U.S. quantum ecosystem.
Okay, bring this down to the ground level. How does this specifically affect a U.S. or European manufacturer, say in the automotive or aerospace sector?
For them, this means the timeline for practical quantum applications, like new material discovery for batteries or complex aerodynamic simulations, is accelerating. U.S. manufacturers now have a clearer path to partner with a quantum company that has a secure onshore supply chain. For European manufacturers, this raises the competitive stakes. It puts pressure on the European ecosystem to ensure its own key players like Pascal or IQM have equally robust manufacturing and supply chain strategies.
And what about trading companies and distributors? What's their angle here?
They need to watch for the emergence of new, specialized components coming out of this integrated model. Sourcing opportunities for the quantum supply chain, from cryogenics to high-precision lasers and now specialized silicon, are becoming more formalized. This vertical integration by a major player could also lead to new partnership models, where distributors might handle logistics for these highly complex systems as they start to deploy outside of labs.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
If you're in a computationally intensive industry, you need to reevaluate your quantum roadmap. The hardware is maturing faster than many expected. U.S. executives should start vetting domestic quantum partners, paying close attention to their supply chain security. European executives need to pressure their regional champions and governments to ensure a competitive, sovereign manufacturing capability exists to support them. The race has moved to the factory floor.
While IonQ makes waves with its manufacturing play, there's a different but equally important story coming out of Europe. The French company Pascal announced a major technical breakthrough. What did they achieve?
On August 10th, Pascal announced a world first. In collaboration with Aponix, they successfully trapped and controlled individual neutral atoms using laser light generated directly from a photonic integrated circuit, or a PIC. Essentially, they've miniaturized the incredibly complex system of lasers and optics needed to hold their qubits, putting it right onto a chip.
Okay, photonic integrated circuit is a mouthful. why is trapping atoms with an on-chip laser such a big deal?
It's all about scalability and stability. Traditionally, neutral atom quantum computers use a room full of complex external lasers and mirrors to create the optical tweezers that hold the atoms. It's bulky, expensive, and difficult to scale up. By integrating this function onto a chip, Pascal has created a pathway to dramatically shrink the system, reduce complexity, and precisely control thousands or even tens of thousands of atoms. This is a critical step toward building a large-scale, fault-tolerant quantum computer.
So a European company is making a fundamental advance in a different type of quantum computer. How does this affect manufacturers in the US and Europe?
It diversifies their options and de-risks their quantum strategies. U.S. manufacturers shouldn't assume ion traps or superconducting circuits are the only game in town. Pascal's success means a powerful neutral atom platform with a clear path to scaling is emerging from Europe. European manufacturers in particular should see this as a huge opportunity to partner with a regional leader. This could give them an edge in areas where neutral atom computers excel, like optimization and simulation problems relevant to logistics and chemical engineering.
What should trading and sourcing companies be looking for here?
This highlights the rise of quantum photonics. The partnership with Aponics, a photonics company, is key. Trading companies should be scouting for specialist suppliers in integrated photonics, high-precision optics, and the vacuum systems required for these neutral atom platforms. The supply chain for this modality of quantum computing is distinct, and early relationships will be valuable.
And the actionable takeaway?
Executives need to diversify their technology intelligence. Don't just track one quantum architecture. Instruct your R&D teams to evaluate the specific advantages of the neutral atom approach for your company's core problems. European firms should be actively seeking pilot projects with Pascal. This isn't just a French success. It's a milestone for the entire European quantum ecosystem and a viable alternative to US-based platforms.
Troy, let's shift from building quantum computers to defending against them. We saw a flurry of announcements this week about something called post-quantum cryptography, or PQC. Google Cloud made a big commitment.
They did. On August 11th, Google Cloud released a detailed roadmap to migrate its entire infrastructure to post-quantum cryptography by 2029. This is one of the most aggressive and transparent timelines from a major tech company. They're not just talking about it, they are deploying initial PQC protections this year and have set specific targets for 2027 and 2028 for key risk areas.
And Oracle is in the mix as well, specifically with Java, which runs a huge portion of the world's enterprise software. What was their announcement?
On August 6th, Oracle announced that the Java Development Kit, JDK 27, arriving this September, will introduce a hybrid post-quantum key exchange for TLS 1.3. More importantly, they've committed to backporting these PQC capabilities to all major long-term support versions of Java, all the way back to JDK 8 by 2027. This is a massive undertaking.
A 2029 deadline from Google, a 2027 plan from Oracle. That sounds like plenty of time. Why is this an urgent issue for companies right now?
Because of a threat called Store Now, Decrypt Later, or Harvest Now, Decrypt Later. Hostile actors are already capturing and storing encrypted data from governments and corporations today. They are betting that in 5 to 10 years, they will have a quantum computer powerful enough to break the current encryption. For any data that needs to remain secure for a decade or more, intellectual property, R&D plans, government secrets, financial records, the vulnerability is not in the future. It's now.
That's a sobering thought. So what does this mean for a US or European manufacturer who relies on cloud services and enterprise software?
It means your data's long-term security is now an active discussion. You need to start inventorying your cryptographic assets. What data are you protecting? For how long? And what encryption is being used? European companies, especially under GDPR, have a heightened responsibility. You can't assume your cloud or software providers are handling this. You need to demand a PQC roadmap from all your critical technology vendors.
And for trading companies and distributors who manage complex supply chains with lots of data exchange?
Your entire value chain is a target. You need to assess the security of your data in transit and data at rest across your whole network. Start asking your partners, from logistics providers to payment processors, about their PQC transition plans. The security of your ecosystem is only as strong as its weakest link. This is a new critical factor in partner vetting.
So, what is the single most important action an executive should consider this week?
Initiate a crypto agility assessment. Task your CIO and CISO to answer two questions. First, do we know everywhere we use public key cryptography? And second, how quickly could we swap in new algorithms when they are required? The roadmaps from Google and Oracle are a clear signal. This isn't a fire drill you can run in a week. It's a multi-year migration that must be planned now.
Tying all this together is government action. We saw another major policy move from the White House this week, aimed at pouring fuel on this entire industry. What happened?
On August 7th, the White House issued an executive order focused on using the federal government's purchasing power to accelerate the quantum industry. The strategy is to position the U.S. government as a predictable, high-demand, early customer for emerging quantum technologies.
So instead of just funding basic research with grants, the government is committing to actually buy the resulting products?
Precisely. The order calls for new procurement models, including pre-market commitments. This is where an agency like the Department of Defense or Department of Energy signals it will buy a certain number of, for example, quantum sensors or secure communication nodes if they meet specific performance criteria. This de-risks the massive R&D investment for private companies and pulls technology from the lab into the market.
Why is this such a powerful global signal this week?
It formalizes the U.S. strategy of treating quantum not just as a science project, but as a critical infrastructure and defense industry. It creates a powerful domestic market for American quantum companies, giving them a revenue base to compete globally. This follows the proposed 68% increase in military quantum funding to $567 million. The U.S. government is using its checkbook to shape the market and pick winners.
What's the implication for a U.S. or European manufacturer looking to use or build quantum tech?
For U.S. manufacturers, this opens up new and lucrative opportunities to partner with the government, especially in defense, aerospace, and energy. If your technology aligns with national security needs, the path to a first customer just became much clearer. For European manufacturers, this is a major competitive threat. The U.S. is creating a heavily supported domestic market that could allow its companies to scale faster. It puts immense pressure on the EU and member states to create similar demand-side programs, not just R&D grants.
How should trading companies and distributors interpret this?
They should see this as the formation of a prime contractor and subcontractor ecosystem for quantum. Large companies that win these government contracts will need a robust supply chain of specialized components. Distributors who understand the quantum technology landscape and can source these niche products, from photonics to cryocoolers, will be in high demand. This is the industrial base for quantum being built in real time.
And the final actionable insight from this White House move?
U.S. executives, particularly in dual-use sectors, should immediately align their quantum R&D with stated government needs in sensing, communication, and computing. This is a direct invitation to co-develop solutions with a guaranteed buyer. European executives must lobby their national governments and the EU to implement similar strategic procurement initiatives. Without a strong home market, European quantum firms will struggle to compete against their state-supported American rivals.
All right, Troy. A lot of ground covered this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, the quantum industry has entered its industrialization phase. IonQ's $1.8 billion acquisition of a foundry isn't about science. It's about owning the means of production. The competitive battlefield is now about secure, scalable manufacturing.
Second, the clock is ticking on data security.
Exactly. The store now, decrypt later threat is real. With Google and Oracle setting hard deadlines for their PQC migrations, the transition to quantum-resistant cryptography is no longer a future problem. It's an active, multi-year project that every organization needs to start planning immediately.
And finally, government is no longer a passive observer.
That's right. The U.S. government is now acting as a strategic customer to pull quantum technology into the market, directly shaping the competitive landscape. This creates massive opportunities for aligned U.S. firms and a significant challenge for European companies who lack similar domestic market support. The age of purely commercial competition is being replaced by state-backed industrial strategy.
Powerful insights to end the week. That's all the time we have for this edition of Troy Technical Intelligence. We're here to help you connect the dots between complex technology and your bottom line. Join us again next week for your strategic briefing.
Thank you for listening.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Until next time, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.